Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love coach of the duo, and I have a really nourishing conversation to share with you today. I got to speak to Tosh Britton, who is a divorce life coach and the founder of Divorce Goddess. Tosh has helped over 1,000 people from all over the world with her coaching, online courses and private group. She has been featured in the likes of the Sunday Times, Weekend FT, BBC, ITV and Sky, and is the co-author of the best-selling books, Mindfulness Through Challenging Times and Ceremonies, The Art of Ritual Living. I was really interested in the concept of divorce well-being that's central to Tosh's work and how we can move through a divorce, separation or a breakup with mindfulness, compassion and self-kindness, and how we can support our friends on this journey too. If you are navigating a breakup, a separation or divorce right now, then please know that you are not alone. And I really hope that you feel supported and held as you listen to this episode. And so without further ado, here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Tosh, a big welcome to the Project Love podcast. It's such an honour to have you as our guest today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm very, very happy to be here with my kind of whole backdrop of stuff going on as well. So
we were just talking about Tosh has got a big board of post-its and all sorts of exciting things in her in the background that I could see. So we just had a whole conversation about brainstorming apps and post-it notes and all sorts of things.
Love a bit of colour on the board, that's for sure.
So first of all, I'd just love to know more about what you do and how you got into this work.
Okay. So when my ex and I, we kind of decided to part ways after about 16 years of marriage, I was sitting at my kitchen table and sort of being faced with looming bankruptcy and divorce and pretty much a stay-at-home mom, although I did work for my ex-husband's business, our sort of joint business. And I just remember thinking, what am I going to do? I didn't know how I was going to pay next month's rent. And I was just sort of sitting there going, okay, so you have to do something. And there's that Tom Cruise film. And he sort of says, show me the money or something, because he's in such a sort of state. I can't remember the film, what it's called. And I had this moment where I was just like, you've just got to start writing about it. Because if you're feeling like this and you don't know what's going on, there have got to be others out there also who are in this sort of state of overwhelm. You know, their whole lives have exploded. Nothing is, it seems. I always liken it to sort of ending up down a rabbit hole, you know, where, you know, really nothing is as it seems. And I just thought, just start writing. And I came up with the concept of Divorce Goddess, not because I was like, yeah, I'm the Divorce Goddess, although there are people that go, you are the Divorce Goddess. And just being the best person you could be through really difficult, challenging, painful times. So it's really sort of holding your own, looking after yourself with self-care and, you know, self-kindness as well, because we can speak so unkindly to ourselves. And just being, you know, growing your awareness. So you become better at choosing your words, you know, you're being more mindful of your thoughts and as a result, your actions as well, to sort of, if possible, minimize conflict and upset for you, your children, really importantly, and your ex and family and friends going through divorce as well. So I just started blogging and then I started an online group and as a space for women just to support each other. I don't have any sort of slating of exes in there. I want to keep it positive and sort of quite high vibration as well, so people feel nurtured rather than kind of sinking into the whirlpool of, you know, shaming and all that stuff. And then I trained to be a mindfulness teacher back in 2015. And I've sort of growing this into a podcast now and coaching. And I coach and I mentor women through, primarily women, but men as well, through the divorce process, emotional and mental well-being. The legal stuff is for the lawyers and, you know, the financial IFAs and planners. But what I realized was, it was actually a lawyer that said to me that, you know, you're kind of like the glue that holds everything together. Because if we're not in a good place, and you know that, Vicky, as well, you know, if we're, you know, managing anything challenging in life or scary or difficult, whether it's losing your job, whether it's, you know, getting ill, getting a divorce, you know, holding, you know, keeping your well-being in check and looking after yourself is just really hugely important. So that's kind of where it's all evolved into, yeah, emotional well-being through divorce.
I love that. I saw that you had, I think it must have been on your website, the term divorce well-being. Mm. And I've never heard that term before. Mm. And I just think, particularly now in a world of, you know, lockdown and coronavirus, I think that what you're offering in terms of helping people move through divorce with mindfulness, with compassion and kindness, I think is needed now more than ever. What would you say to someone who is perhaps in the early stages of their divorce journey? Perhaps it's a decision that was made during lockdown. What would you say to someone who is sort of experiencing that right now?
First of all, that you will be all right. You will come through this. And it might not feel like it at the moment. And it might feel like those days are relentless and you just feel like, you know, every level you're being squeezed or manipulated, or you just feel in this world of pain. But actually, if you can, use it as an opportunity. And I'm a really big person for, you know, seeing the light in the darker days, to grow yourself, to really learn more about yourself. And, you know, actually you're stronger than you think you are sometimes. And even on those really, you know, those sort of dark nights of the soul, as, you know, people call it, that, you know, every day that you get through this is like another day. And, you know, what have you learned from it? And I really encourage people, if they don't, and I'm sure I know you do as well, because you've got a lovely journal coming out and all sorts of lovely stuff, is to write, you know, to just to keep a diary of how you're feeling each day, what happens, what you were triggered by, you know, how you were feeling, you know, maybe even just hormonally, you know, just generally, or maybe you weren't eating properly, and then you can look back and see how far you've come. And it doesn't feel like you've moved forward sometimes, or you're taking one step forward and two steps back, but you really have. You just probably don't know it yet. So really hold that faith that you will be okay. You will be all right. And there is so much help out there as well. That's the other thing I was going to say. There is so much help.
Your overriding message, I think, is to reassure people that they are not alone as they go through this. And I just think that message is so soothing, that you are not alone and that you will get through this, no matter how difficult and overwhelming this feels right here and now. Trusting that this does not define you, that you will be able to rise strong from this, even if you can't see that right now. It's sort of trusting in that unknown.
It is. And it is, we were talking about this before we started recording, it is about trusting the unknown. And what you're doing through your divorce, it's like people say, oh, I'm going to start my life after divorce. And I really encourage people, actually, from day one, you start using this as your foundational stones for your future. You know, and if you have children, you know, every meeting, every conversation you have with your ex, you know, all this stuff is building this foundation for your future. And, you know, I kind of talk a lot about you can't control how other people think, speak or act towards you, but you always have responsibility for how, no matter how crap you're feeling, you know, you have, if you know, if you choose not to have that argument, it's kind of one less argument for your future, for managing co-parenting and not carrying that emotional pain and, you know, anger and sadness and grief and everything else that's, you know, can live within us for, you know, for many, many years.
What would you say to someone who wants to move to a place of forgiveness with their ex-partner, but who is finding that to be difficult?
I'm really glad you asked me this, right? Because actually, I'm just putting something together on how to do this. And I kind of work on, I'm trying to think of the book. She's called Katie. She's an American lady. Katie, anyway, she talks...
Is it the four questions?
No.
No, not. Oh, that's Byron Katie, isn't it?
Byron Katie. No, Byron Katie, Katie, this is her,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she talks about the backyards. And so I talk about this a lot. So you've got your backyard and you've got your ex's backyard. And if there was a third party, you've got their backyard as well. And every time you're thinking about your ex or that other person, that third party, you are in their backyard and you are out of your backyard. And so what you're doing is you're giving them all your energy and all your loveliness when actually... Notice when you're there and come back and just nourish and grow and look after and nurture your own backyard. And just, you know, and that whole sort of practice of noticing when you're there, that mindful awareness, you know, and then just go, actually, I'm just going to leave it there and I'm going to come back. And even if you're being triggered, just noticing what takes you into that backyard and out of your own, because every time you're there, you're not in your own and you deserve to be in your lovely backyard. So I'm really glad you asked me that.
Yes, I love that image. And you talk about the two arrows, don't you?
Yeah, the two arrows. So what's happened to you, you know, the event, the divorce, somebody cheated on you, maybe somebody decided they didn't want to be with you anymore. And then the second arrow is what you choose to do with what the life event, whatever it is, and whether you choose to sit in anger and negative emotions. And it's not saying you can't ever feel like that, because, you know, we're human after all, but it's really being aware of how much time you give to and hurt yourself more. You know, if you're going to shout at your ex or lose it, or and then you're going to come back home and feel guilty about doing it and like, I'm such a fool, I can't believe I lost it, I'm such an idiot. You know, that's the second arrow. That's the sort of the pain we're inflicting on upon ourselves. So I love that. Do you know what? It's probably one of my most favorite mindfulness sort of little kind of stories, that whole thing about what you do with your second arrow. In fact, actually, I would really like to get a tattoo, two arrows, just as a really great mind, you know, reminder.
Yeah, reminder, exactly. I love that.
No, I see it on people's arms. I'm like, I always ask them, oh, why do you have two arrows on their arms? And they sometimes they say no, and I tell them about that story and they go, oh, I love that story. So
I think that story really shows the power of forgiveness, and that it's not that you are ever condoning somebody's behavior.
Exactly.
By forgiving them, it's actually an act of self-love, because the first life that changes when you forgive is your own.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And it really is. I remember in the early days feeling very, I sort of used to beat myself up for, you know, not getting it right, and I failed, and, you know, what could I have done better? And really, you know, that sort of whole, you're probably aware of it, the Ho'oponopono practice, you know, that self, that forgiveness, and just even just putting your hands in your heart and telling yourself, you can, you know, I forgive myself, you know, and name those things that you can forgive yourself for, and to be gentle with your words as well, because our words affect our bodies, you know, and our cells and all that other stuff. I love this stuff. So
I love that stuff too, like the biology of belief.
Oh, totally. Supernatural. What is it? Becoming Superhuman is Dr. Joe Dispenza book.
And just speaking to yourself with such kindness, because I can imagine that the inner critic can be super loud as you're sort of navigating through this process. And it's, you know, really act activating that loving, kind voice that we all have. Mm. Sometimes it's a bit of a whisper. Mm. We need to turn up the volume. And other times it's, you know, it's just right there supporting us. So intentionally and consciously sort of activating that loving and kind voice so that you can make loving choices for yourself each and every day.
It's so true. It's so true. And actually, it's hard when you're going through a divorce and you're going through separation and or a breakup of a relationship. It doesn't have to be marriage. It really is about, and sometimes actually the self-love thing is too difficult. And I've talked before actually about self-kindness. It can just be self-kindness, which in itself is lovely, but it doesn't have to be self-love if you find that too difficult or if it's, you know, just too out there for you. A bit of self-kindness. And that can be, you know, a hot bath, a nice cup of tea. Drink more water.
And it really can be the little things that can make such a difference. I listened to your conversation with Gail Loveshock, and you were both talking about this this gift of giving yourself an experience of doing nothing and just sitting with a cup of tea and just being with yourself. And I think, and I know this in my own life, I know this to be true, like just giving yourself those moments, if you only have moments, just giving yourself those moments where you just be with yourself and just sit, make a cup of tea, look out the window, just sort of, you know, be with what's there and allowing what's there.
And it's interesting because we think that wouldn't make a difference, but actually it really does. And we go, oh, why just having a cup of tea and just sitting there doing nothing? It really does make a difference. And the more we do it, the more we practice it, even though, you know, it's that resistance. You know, and the mind monkey is obviously chirping up, sort of having their say or whatever they want to do is, you know, what do you want to do that for? You could be busy and have a cup of tea. And that's when you've literally got to like hush them up, shoo them away and just go, actually, I'm just going to go and sit in another room away from my phone or sit in the garden if the weather's nice and just or on a balcony and just sit and just have that cup of tea. And, you know, it can just be that simple act of breathing in, you know, the scent of the tea and the warmth of the mug and the weight of the mug and just take that lovely breath.
Even just talking about taking a breath is really soothing. I was like, oh.
Just going to take that lovely breath.
I know that some of our listeners will be supporting friends through a divorce or through a breakup right now. And I think that some people aren't sure basically how they can be the most supportive friend to that friend who's going through this right now. Do you have any sort of advice or tips to share on how friends can support people through a divorce or breakup?
I'm fizzing with excitement at this question because that is just the loveliest question. And to all you lovely people who are supporting your divorce friends, I just a massive hug to you for doing that, because for so many people it is quite difficult and they really can't go there. And it is so heartbreaking when those friends, and it's not about you, it's about your friends that actually can't handle it for whatever reason. So thank you to all those lovely people supporting your divorce friends. What I would say is just check in, you know, just check in with them. How are you doing? I'm thinking about you. If you're doing something with a bunch of other people, just or, you know, you're going to do something. I love my married friends, right, who invite me and my teenagers over and they'll be having a bicker in the kitchen together and they'll just do, and you just go, oh, there's still normality out there and it's okay and I'm part of it. And I think that inclusion is really lovely. At least give your single or to be divorced friends that option to say no to a social gathering or whatever it may be these days, rather than just assuming, oh, they won't want to come because they don't have a partner. Because actually at the end of the day, if you are going through it, you may choose not to put yourself in that place with lots of couples, and it may feel really difficult, but actually at least you've had the choice. So I would say that. I would also just, yeah, check in. And one more thing. I was always like, why would you ask me to do that? They go, I'm having a quiet kitchen supper on Thursday. Do you want to come over? No, I want to go out and have a glass of wine somewhere really loud and bouncy, please. I'm in my kitchen a lot. No.
Yes.
Take them to a gym bar, whatever that is. Just don't say quiet kitchen supper. Well, that was me anyway. It might not be lots of other people, but I just remember going, no, I really want to go
another
out.
One. Yeah.
So yeah.
So checking in, and I think it's really key to ask your friend, you know, what can really help you in this moment, or how can I help you in this moment? What about a friend who doesn't reach out, or is someone who maybe isolates themselves but wants the support but sort of struggles to receive?
Okay, so maybe kind of going back to your point about actually just ask them, what can I do? Like ask them to write down 5 things that you can do that they would like you to do. Mm. And it doesn't have to be all at once. It can just be, so you both have like, you know, you both know exactly what can help, and having that conversation. And actually, and so that friend is also being asked to think about what would help her or him, which is also really important as well, because sometimes we just go, oh, that would be nice, but we don't really. So actually writing it down on a piece of paper, and both of you agreeing that this could really help, kind of sets that intention as well. I would say something like that. So you, I know it sounds a little bit sort of contrived having some agreement or whatever, but I feel like at least both of you know what to expect. And it may change as well, you know. It doesn't always have to be, it could be actually having the children or babysitting, or, you know, just...
Or help me pack some boxes, or practical stuff.
Yeah, or just somebody kind of sit and, you know, having moved house just recently, you know, just somebody to come and sit there and not necessarily have to do anything, but just talk to you so you feel like you're not alone in this as well.
Yeah.
If you need to do some forms, for example, you know, some financial forms can be enormously overwhelming for people, and actually just to sit there and just be there with them as well. Because I think when you've been in a relationship or a marriage, you're so used to having somebody there, whether they're useful or not in it, there's somebody just to kind of like chew the fat with. And suddenly you're having to do it all on your own. So actually having that person there just to, or even, you know, if you can't see them, have them on Skype just with you whilst you're just kind of talking or doing anything as well. And that encouragement, I think that encouragement that, you know, you're doing really well and it's okay as well to not be doing okay.
Yes.
No judgment. Drop the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah, meeting yourself exactly where you are. What kind of things really helped you on your journey?
Yeah, I literally had, I mean, I kind of always loved all my stuff anyway. I'm kind of a bit of a spiritual head anyway. So I really, I embraced finding, I'm trying to see if I got on here, a white feather. So, you know, if I was walking the dog, I would like suddenly see a white feather if I was feeling anxious, and I'd be like, oh, I got a white feather. I got my angels with me, my guardian angels. That was a really big thing for me. I got really into crystals massively. And I used to have like a lovely rosy quartz, which I used to put in my bra. I don't know who this is going out
love
to,
that.
But it was kind of by my heart. And I remember once, actually, I got to share with you a really funny story. My soon-to-be ex came round, and I was going out to meet this guy I've been seeing, and I bent over and I think 2 crystals dropped out my bra, and he went, what is going on there? And I went, and I went, and he said, and I said, oh, these are my crystals. And he went, just so-and-so know about this? And I said, yeah, he's really happy with it. And you could just see him thinking, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm glad. And it made me laugh so much because I just thought, I don't care anymore what you think. But so crystals were enormous. And saging, I sage my house if we had difficult conversations or arguments, or I really got into the moon cycles as well. So understanding how I was feeling and doing that processing of embracing and letting go. What else did I do? Obviously, I kind of rediscovered mindfulness. I used to meditate years ago, and my meditation practice became huge. So there was that, and I really got into grounding as well. So when I felt I was really in my head, I would just go and stand on the grass and in my bare feet, and I would just stand, and I would just sort of imagining I was just breathing and letting go of all the stress and anxiety, angst, and just seeing it all being absorbed by the ground. And that was a really helpful practice for me. And actually, my children used to get, if they were worrying as well, my son particularly would come outside with me, and he would just go, oh, and he was like 7 or 8, bless him, and he would go, oh, Mom, this feels really nice. And he still does it now, so.
And I think it's that feeling supported by something much larger than you.
Yeah. Mm. Because really, you do feel like your whole world has blown apart, so. Mm. But that's how we get to rebuild it and put it all back together.
There's a question that I heard you ask. I can't remember where I read it. It's something about asking yourself, what is your divorce asking you to look at?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You did look at it. What is it that your divorce is most, is it the fact that you don't like being on your own? Mm. You know, is it loneliness is your big fear? Is it, you know, the fact that you don't believe you're good enough, you know, for a good relationship? You know, a lot of people, they come through really difficult, very kind of unkind relationships, you know, and, you know, is it time for you to grow your confidence and rebuild yourself with all that self-kindness and self-love to, you know, finally understand how that you are enough? And that you are worth being loved, and that you're worthy of a good love as well. I think as well, you know, that sort of, you know, is it your opportunity to really go and do what you wanted to do in life that you've put on the back burner of being, you know, a mother, a wife, a partner, or whatever. And now this is your opportunity to do what you really love. And you can choose to have that, you know, those feelings of like, this is being done to me, or you could actually write, okay, so it's that arrow, isn't it? I do say that your divorce is not about your ex, it's about you.
I heard a podcast recently about conscious uncoupling, and I'm actually really interested. I don't know that much about it yet, but I'm really interested in that. I guess that's a focus on the two individuals, isn't it? To come to a sacred sort of completion in their relationship versus someone who goes through this process as an individual, knowing that it will impact their experience of relating to you know, their ex-partner. How would you describe a mindful divorce?
So, it was really interesting because I started going through this process about 2 weeks before Gwyneth and
Chris Martin.
And I wrote a blog about conscious uncoupling because what she had verbalized and said, and everybody's a bit like, was how we were working through it. So we both both literally wrote an intention that this is how we wanted it to happen, and that we were going to support each other through this, and we were going to be kind to each other, and we were going to, you know, this was going to be for the good of everybody. And as a result, you know, we We see partners, we have Christmas drinks, we have, you know, lunches, we co-parent, we do all this stuff as well. So I think it's a very much, I mean, a lot of people might not want to join that and they might go, actually, and that's okay. So that's when it really sort of becomes about you. But if I think in the beginning, if you can ask, if you feel you can have the conversation with your ex, even if you're feeling like the divorce has happened, it wasn't your choice, that you can say, okay, so this has happened. And it's a big, huge step to do this. Say, okay, so this has happened, you know, and using the best parts of your marriage and your relationship to get yourselves out of it. So it's almost like project managing your divorce and project managing your way out of it as you would plan to get married and, you know, to join and live with each other as well. So I think there is definitely an opportunity to have that conversation. And I don't know, I think when you put something in, if you have the courage to put something in place like that or to put it on the table, I think it's very difficult for people to go anywhere when there's kindness and like a positive intention there. So the conscious uncoupling, I think, is a really, it's very powerful. I mean, you know, and especially if you have children going forward as well, that's, you know, why would you not want to have that conversation? And, you know, even if you did have the courage to say, right, let's consciously uncouple, and or perhaps not use that, because obviously it's kind of, a lot of people are a bit like, but actually to say, let's get out of this with our everything intact as much as we can and work together and use the best parts. I think that would be, at least you said it, at least you've had the courage to say it. Whether it's taken up or not is, you know, that's something else, isn't it? And that's something you can't control.
So I'd love to know what's next for you and for the Divorce Goddess. Before I do, because that's going to be my final question. I think it's going to be my final question. Let's see. So before I ask that, is there anything else that you would love to share with our listeners?
Just to remember that you are enough. You are absolutely enough, no matter what you're going through, no matter how ragged you feel. Whatever is going on, is that you are enough, and everything that is happening to you now is for a reason, and it's turning it round to look and find the positive, find those rays of light, no matter how small. And my dear dad always says to me, you know, when one door closes, another door opens. You are absolutely enough through this. So,
yeah. And I would also just add to take things one step at a time, or even one breath at a time, if one step at a time is too much. You know, really take that journey slow, be gentle with yourself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the temptation is, you know, people go, I want to get divorced and I want to move on and I want to do this and I want to do that. And life's not like that. And our divorce and our house sale came through in the same week, 7 years on. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. And had the house sold then, initially, nothing, I wouldn't have anything left. I didn't know what to do. And so really trust that everything happens at the right time. And that the more you try and control, if somebody's not doing something that you want to have happen, notice how much energy and how much angst and pain it's creating for you yourself, inside yourself. So actually, you know, and almost in that, you know, it's that whole mindful thing about accepting and letting go, and resignation is holding on. Notice what you're holding on to, that I want this outcome, even if it's not working. Why is it not working? And ask yourself that. Check in.
Yeah, I think we forget that letting go isn't giving up. It's a very courageous act, letting go versus resignation.
Yeah, totally. And every time you have the courage to do that, you're saying yes to yourself. You know, you're saying yes. If you know, if you believe in the universe, you're saying yes to the universe as well. You're saying, I trust in something bigger than what I control.
I love that. Oh, it's been such a, this has been such a nourishing conversation. It's been really soothing. I've really, really loved talking to you.
Thank you.
So what is next for you and for the Divorce Goddess?
So this board.
The post-its.
The great unveil. unveiling is a post-it, whatever. I think I've got another one underneath as well because I really got into my boards and post-its. Is my lovely new website is coming out and with it is going to be lots of sort of downloadable stuff to help people. So, you know, it's not necessarily me saying this and this, because sometimes you just want to sit and work it out yourself, and that's part of the journey I feel with divorce, is knowing the support is out there but actually owning it as well. So there's going to be that, and I'm putting a well-being membership together, the self-love club. There we go. I don't think I've actually told anybody that yet, so I'm the big on my website. So it's a self-love club, so it's just going to be a membership for people to who are going through divorce, with lots of experts in there as well to help them and support them and guide them and all sorts of stuff like that. And you know what, we'll just see what happens. Last week I was told I've been personally invited onto the Spears 500. But what is really good is the fact that there is an emotional divorce coach in there. So, yes. Well, a divorce coach working with emotions rather than just legal or financial. So that was a really big, you know, it's like definitely there's a change in the air. And you're probably finding that as well, Vicky, with, you know, just the way people are looking at things and, you know, healing themselves as well. I think healing, put the healing word in there as well. So much of this year has really been sort of coming back to the heart focused help and support and care.
Definitely. Oh, it's been so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much, Tosh. Where can people find you?
You can find me on, if you type in divorcegoddess .com. It'll come up. I think there's a page, or maybe the website will be up by then. And I do a weekly love, sort of like four little notes on a Monday morning, four recommendations. So just have a look around the site if there's anything that can help you there. Instagram, I'm on as Divorce Goddess.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you too, really. And I love the work you do. I love your, I was saying earlier, your lovely sunny smiles and your journal and workbook and everything else that's like I'm really excited about.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.